Stand on your square. We on the earth. We about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, family. We back in the building. This is Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotep, Abarbigani, and Assalamu Alaikum, family. This is Brother Montoy, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We back again, family, another week, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family. We have a great show scheduled for today. We also have a special guest joining us as well. But before we get started, as we always do, do y'all have any announcements for the family? And how was y'all week?
I had a great week. A few little bumps, but nothing major. I won't complain about anything, but I did have a great week, you know, as long as I'm still here to start over and continue going, and I'm happy. So, but no announcements. Oh, I'm sorry, I do have an announcement. I want to give a special happy birthday to my daughter, Micah. Love you. She's celebrating her, her 20th birthday. I'm so surprised to be able to say that I have a 20-year-old. Oh, my God.
Ah, happy birthday.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But
happy
yes, I
want to
say happy birthday. Shout out to my baby girl.
That's right. That's right. My brother Mufasa. How was your week, brother? And you got any announcements for the family?
Hey, all is good. You know, I'm not going to judge Rigel, you know, for having a 20-year-old and since he's only 30. You know, but I'm not going to judge her for her past ways. Being fast, I ain't going to judge you, sister. But I'm just joking.
Wow.
But, hey, wow. Happy birthday to Niecy. And, yeah, I don't have any big major announcements. One I will make is, if y'all didn't know, Sadie Roberts Joseph, the founder of the African American Museum, it was reported she was found dead in the trunk of a car at age 75. So this is something that we're going to have to investigate and see and find out what's going on. So, you know, that's horrible news to hear. So we'll look into that and maybe that's something we can touch on later. But other than that, you know, I'm here. It is what it is. Let's get into the conversation.
All right, yes,
it
indeed.
Is what
and,
it is.
Yes, sir. This Cosmic Kev, yeah, my week was pretty good. It's been a lot going on. Like, what I always do each week is try to observe and pay attention and kind of see what's going on because, once again, we are in some interesting times on the eve of 2020, as I always mention. But this week, in case y'all didn't know, the billionaire, quote unquote, they're reporting a billionaire, Jeff Epstein, has been charged with federal sex crimes. And the reason I bring this up, family, is because this is huge, right? This is big. The names that are implicated with this, we're talking about Bill Clinton was forced to make a statement this week. You know, Trump has been implicated with this guy, Prince Andrew, Alan Dershowitz, who's a big-time lawyer. Kevin Spacey has been implicated. So this goes very deep to high levels of the government. Alex Acosta, who was Trump's labor secretary, was actually forced to resign this week, right? So he's kind of the first casualty of this whole Jeff Epstein debacle or, you know, what they got going on. So this is big. Like I say, we do know that the biggest sex trafficking events are the Olympics, All-Star Weekend, Super Bowl Week, and the Republican and Democratic conventions. Let me say this again. The biggest sex trafficking events are the Olympics, All-Star Weekend, Super Bowl Week, Republican and Democratic conventions. So this sex trafficking thing is big, and it reaches to high levels of government. It reaches to the royal family. It reaches to the Vatican, and so on and so forth. So I'm saying this, family, just to say, you know, pay attention to what's going on. Be a scientist. Don't be in the experiment, but just kind of step back and watch it, and watch it with your third eye open, so you can observe and see what's going on. But again, this is big, and we have more updates as events and things unfold along with this case. So I just wanted to put that out there, family, because I've been, you know, sending Rigel and Mufasa updates on Jeff Epstein for a few months now, and it finally caught up with him. So we'll see how far this goes. I don't think it'll bring down Trump per se, but there are a lot of big names that are implicated in this. So, you know, I just wanted to put that announcement out there for the family to keep an eye on. And with that being said, we are going to get into the show today. Again, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. Give us a call at Collective Minds. We all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. The number is 929-477-1697. And this was actually inspired by an article that Rigel had sent to us, Queen Rigel, that was written by Dream McClinton. She wrote an op-ed, I would say, for The Guardian. And it was entitled, "Why Dark-Skinned Black Girls Like Me Aren't Getting Married." And our special guest actually wrote a response to that. So we're going to get into that conversation. Are dark-skinned women getting married less than light-skinned women? And our special guest is Kyra Cowles. Are you with us, Kyra?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, I'm hoping I'm saying your name. Is it Kyra or Kyra? Kyra?
It's Kyra. You had it perfect.
Okay, great, great. Thank you, Ms. Kyra, for joining us this evening. We appreciate you spending some of your time with us. And just in case, you know, some of our listeners may not have heard of you, can you give us a brief introduction to who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I am a journalist. I've spent 20 years in the field. I've worked at companies including the Tribune Company. Currently, I write for Buffalo, Griot, and Shine. A little while ago, I was the editor-in-chief at Ebony, and before that, I ran the editorial operations at Jet, the digital operations. So I've been in the game for quite a while.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you again for joining us. We do appreciate that. Now, I guess the obvious first question would be, what prompted you to write a response to this particular article by Dream McClinton?
So I saw the article, and I thought, you know, I am a darker-skinned woman. I definitely know that there are issues that we face that lighter-skinned women don't face. But I just thought it was just a really bleak, very negative portrayal of both black women and black men. So I got a call or an email from my editor, who I work with at the Griot, and she asked me if I was interested in writing a response. And I said, of course. So, you know, it was really like a joint thing. She noticed it as well. And I think a lot of people were talking about it online because we always face this kind of team light skin, team dark skin, and this kind of just put
right
it in the spotlight.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And yes, and I thought you wrote, you know, a brilliant piece. And the way you started off was brilliant because as black people, you know, I believe you were kind of saying that we don't have time really to engage in the colorism things based on all the other things we have going on within black society. You know, so I thought that was kind of brilliant. Now, I do want to defer to Queen Rigel or my brother Mufasa. Do you guys have any questions for our guests?
No, I don't have any questions at this moment. I would like to thank her for agreeing to come on and speaking with us. I totally appreciate that. But I don't have any questions right now. I just kind of get into it. I just think this is a very interesting topic and discussion, though, because I do recognize the colorism aspect of it. But I think, like, probably most of the people who I've spoken with and, like, our guests, I don't want to say that it's because of the color of someone's skin that they're not getting married, though. I wouldn't put it that far, you know. But I do recognize that, you know, that we do have issues when it comes to light skin, dark skin. So I just throw that out there.
Right.
Yes, indeed. Brother Mufasa, did you have any questions for our guest?
Indeed. Hello, Kyra. Sister Kyra, how are you?
Hello there. I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for coming on. Again, you know, I guess I'll touch pretty much the same on what Quinn Rogers said as far as that, and what you said earlier, too. We do have to acknowledge that, yes, we do have some issues between light skin and dark skin, but in your I'm more so on the side of, I don't even believe that we are getting married as a whole as much
exactly.
as we used to.
That's
you know,
exactly
that's,
what I was
going to
say.
Yeah, that's more, you know, the side that I lean towards. The light skin, dark skin, yeah, there are some issues, but I think it's more of a bigger issue of we're not even getting married as much as we used to in the past, period. So, yeah, I wanted to hear you touch on that as well.
Yeah, so I definitely think that many of the issues that we face as Black people, whether it's, you know, whether it's from kind of enforced poverty, segregation, you know, police brutality, all these issues that are very important, I do think that as Black people we are not getting married at the rates that we used to, but it's also important to point out that people of all races are getting married at slower rates and much later than they used to get married. I think the problem is that within, you know, Black America, where I think I just read an article saying that they are projecting us to have a net worth of $0, like over the next, I think it wasn't even a full decade. It's hard to argue
right.
for marriage when you're worried about,
mm-hmm.
you know, economic issues. You know, marriage in itself came about as a financial construct. The purpose of marriage is to build wealth. It's not, it's romance and it's evolved to be that. But originally this is about property and ownership and,
right.
you know, building something. And so if you are already fighting all of these issues and to the point where you don't have any wealth to contribute, you're probably not looking to get married at all. So I think that this article really seemed very personal to me, and I get it because I understand
yeah.
that, you know, we see music videos where there are lighter-skinned women with long hair, and, you know, we just recently had this foolishness with Chris Brown where he talked about how he liked the women with the, quote, nice hair, meaning women with a different texture of hair than the typical 4C that you might associate with Black women. So those problems do exist, but I think you would find that many of these women with the so-called nice hair aren't being proposed to either. And I think it's important to look at that and not just take it into like a personal situation where if you're not getting dates or if men are talking to you a certain way, you extrapolate that to be all men doing
dark
something. Game. You know, I've had, you know, plenty of dates in my life, you know, not to brag, but, you know, I've had no trouble. But I also think that I've really spoken up when people have said things to me that I found to be offensive. Like, I did have a guy once that I really liked, and he was a very nice-looking guy, but he was obsessed with curly hair, and he would always talk about it. And I would ask him, so, you know, why are you so focused on that? How does that matter? Like, what does that have to do with anything? He was with me, so obviously it wasn't that important, but it was important enough for him
right.
to make it a topic of conversation. But I just confronted him about it and was done with it. I wasn't, there was no self-esteem lost on my side, and I actually was kind of mean to him. You know, he did have curly hair, but he was losing it. So I pointed that out. I was like, well, you talking about some curly hair, and I got all
right.
of mine. So, you know, I actually prefer my hair because it's remaining on my head. And here you sit, you know, balding at age 30. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's the way I usually take it. But I understand
it is what it
hurtful is. To hear people. Yeah, yeah. It can be very hurtful to have people treat you that way. But I think sometimes we fall into the trap of well, if people are treating me this way, this is just the way that it is, and I just don't agree that that's the overall
yeah.
situation with respect to marriage.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
Yes. Yep, I definitely agree. And we'll get to the call lines here in a second. Guys, we are joined by our special guest, Kyra Cowles, and we are talking about an article that was written in The Guardian talking about our dark-skinned women getting married less than light-skinned women. And as the guest pointed out, this was a very personal article because there's really not a lot of hard data you can find as far as, you know, light-skinned or dark-skinned women getting married. There's really nothing you can find. So the article was very personal. And what I did, I kind of looked at, you know, my personal experience, and because me being a dark male, and for some reason, I've always went against the grain and gravitated towards darker-skinned women. You know, as I look back as far as the women I've dated, I seem like I do have a type. And maybe Queen Raja, my sister, can vouch for me on that. I do have a certain type. And as I look at those women that I've dated, a lot of them have not had any problems with getting dates, getting proposed to, or getting married for that matter. So it was very personal. And, you know, I just felt like she did kind of beat up on herself a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I think there may be, you know, some self-esteem issues there. Now, I do want to ask the caller, because in the article you did mention, as far as the survey she had referenced, and you was like, who did she survey? Was it Kodak Black, ASAP Rocky,
yeah.
Ludacris, and I guess we could throw Chris Brown in there. We could probably throw Chris Brown in there. But I wanted to ask you, like, what do you think what these guys say, being that they are in the limelight or they are in entertainment, do you think that has an effect on dark-skinned women that are growing up, you know,
yes,
by what
definitely.
They say or the comments they make?
Yes, I definitely
okay.
think so. I mean, especially because some of these men have daughters that are also dark-skinned. So for them to say these things and their own children are their complexion or darker, it makes it seem like they're really serious, because why would somebody – talk about a group of people that look like their mom or like their daughter or like their
exactly.
sister
mm-hmm.
with such seriousness. I think that pop culture in general, and that's why I've written about pop culture for so many years, is that, yes, their investigative journalism is important. All these things are important, but it's also important to look at the way mainstream society kind of flows, because for a long time it's been the whiter or the closer to white that you are, the prettier you are, the better you are. So when you
right.
hear black people reinforcing that, it's extremely hurtful. It's one thing to hear it from
yeah.
a white person. I mean, they've done surveys and studies showing that if you're lighter skinned, you get a shorter prison term or you can get a job faster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's actually a lot of statistics around that. But it is more harmful.
Right.
And it's important to point out, though, too, that this also goes on in Latinx societies and Asian societies. So lighter being so-called better is not unique to African Americans, but for us it's very tied to slavery. And I think that's what makes it so sad, is that we're in 2019 and we still have a hierarchy
mm-hmm.
based on, you know, hair texture, skin, you know, complexion, all these really, really surface variables that no one has control over. I do, when I hear people that I admire, like I like their music, and I hear them say something idiotic, like, you know, I like exotics, or I like light skins, or, you know, I love
mm-hmm.
red bones. Now, that doesn't make me think less of myself, but I think it does send out a message that this type of thinking is still prevalent, and there are many people who look up to these artists, so when they say something, they believe it. Just like when they want a Lambo, or they want, you know, a certain type of house, or go on a certain vacation. You're exoticizing and saying that women who are lighter are gold, and then that leaves the rest of us where, especially because we make up probably the majority. And I think one thing that's also
right.
funny to think about is there wouldn't be any light-skinned people if there hadn't been dark-skinned people, because, you know, they didn't spring out of the ocean. You know, they come from
right.
white men finding
right.
very, very dark-skinned women attractive. So it's hypocritical, too. I do think it matters. I think most people who have power of self-esteem and have been exposed, it won't affect them as much. But I think it's the same as you know, saying women with big chest or women with a big butt are more attractive. You're saying women are lighter skinned, women with longer hair are prettier. And then at the same time, you want to mock people when they try to meet those standards. So I do think it matters a lot. And I wish that they would not do that.
Yes, yes, indeed. And I'm glad you brought that up. Just one quick point. Yeah, just one quick point. Because when I actually go out into the world and I see, let's say, interracial couples, it seems to me that when you have a white man and a black woman, he goes for the darker-skinned black woman, natural hair, dreadlocks, a lot of the times that I see, you know, the majority of the time. So I find that dynamic interesting that, you know, that there may be some colorism. I think a lot of the colorism in a black community, I think that's, again, from outside sources, because I think we deal with it internally kind of different. Like I say, me being a dark-skinned male, I've heard the black jokes and all that stuff, but it was never that big of a deal, you know, as far as, you know, affecting my self-esteem, thank God. But I think the forces as far as the colorism does come from outside sources, but I think we handle it internally a lot different than what's portrayed on TV and in videos and movies and things like that. You know, I just wanted to put that out there. We'll get to the call lines here in a second. I do want to give, Rigel and Mufasa a chance to chime in, and then we'll go to the call lines. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Rigel or Mufasa, I want to give y'all a chance to ask the guest a question.
Yeah, you can go ahead, Mufasa.
Okay. Yeah, it was something that you tapped. Okay, well, I remember what it was now. And I have to jump out there and say this. Now, me, being a black man, now, I've dated, you know, all the spectrums of the colors from caramel to dark skin. Now, me personally, I'm not a big fan of extremely bright, light women. You know, that's my thing. I like caramel to dark. But I do feel in saying that those people should be entitled to go for what they prefer. So when the whole Chris Brown thing popped off, I mean, if that's what he wants, hey, let him feel free to do that. You know,
well, let
me
tell you, Chris Brown is free to do that, because I don't want Chris Brown. I can promise you that. There is no, you know, Chris Brown is not anybody's ideal man, so he can do that. But I do think it goes beyond preference, because I think preference is different than some kind of societal imprint that darker skinned women are not as good. And I think it would go the same way. I don't advocate for men who don't like light skinned women. We're all black women and we should all be treated with respect. You know, my sister is beautiful, light skinned woman. I would never sit here and go against, you know, I don't do team light skinned, team dark skinned, but I think it goes beyond preference. Like, preference to me is I don't like women who smoke cigars, or I don't like men who don't cut their nails. You know, most of these men that are saying these things, they're not even knowing where this kind of thinking comes from. It's not about, I like women who, you know, ride bikes, or I like women who play volleyball. This is an imprint that comes from slavery. So I don't think it's a preference. I think it's brainwashing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the problem comes in when, you know, when you want to tear down, you know, somebody else and how they look. You know, as long as that, if you can say what you like. But when you want to, you know, tear down against other people, that's where the problem comes in. Like, if I can say, hey, I love dark-skinned women. Now, I'm not saying that I have a problem with light-skinned women. I'm just saying that, you know, I prefer to date dark-skinned women. And I look at it, as long as I'm not tearing down, saying, like, light-skinned women are ugly.
But it depends on how you say it. So what Chris Brown said was, he didn't say, I like women with wavy hair. He said, I like women with, quote, nice hair. So the implication is that women with wavy hair have the nice hair. And so what does that say about the rest of us? So, you know, if you said you like dark-skinned women because you like women with beautiful skin, you're inadvertently saying that women with lighter skin are not beautiful, do not have beautiful skin. So that's where I take issue. It's like, these men are not content to say, well, I just happen to like, you know, this type of woman. They want to tell you that this woman is the ideal, and that's when the brainwashing comes in.
Yeah, I agree.
We all have preferences.
I agree with
you. I don't like men that sit up and play Fortnite all day. Believe me, I don't want you. You know, you can be gorgeous, and I don't want you. And I don't expect anybody to come to me and say that I'm anti-Fortnite. I don't like that. But, you know, that's different than me saying I don't like dark-skinned men, and I myself am a dark-skinned woman. That makes no sense. I was in high school with a guy who told me I don't date women. You know, you're on the cusp, because he told me I was brown. You're on the cusp. I don't date dark women. But he was dark, like the color of a phone screen when it turns off. And I asked him, I was like, what women are darker than you, though?
I even think we handled the way we handled the situation with the whole good hair thing. I think we handled it the wrong way, because when he said good hair, I think women should respond to the men. They should, everybody should show whatever texture hair they have and said, this is good hair. I mean, you saying good hair, why does it have to mean that it's wavy hair?
Because all the women he dates have wavy hair.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The response from all the women with kinky hair or whatever, they should have said, this is good hair. Instead of, I saw a lot of women coming on us showing that's, you know, showing that wavy hair, like, this is good and this is great. You know, I didn't like the way
that black women did. Black women did show that they have self-esteem, but my thing is, why would you as a black man come out here saying these negative things and make it so that women have to boost up their own self-esteem? Your mother's hair probably looks like this. Like, what is your point in doing something like that? Like, ASAP Rocky saying that women, black, dark women shouldn't wear lipstick. Do you work at MAC? Are you a creative director for a makeup brand? Like, why is that something that would even occur to you to say? And I don't think that black men would appreciate it if black women did the same to them. Like, the problem is we have too many people against us as it is. So just be quiet. How about that for an option? You don't have to say anything. I don't think anybody asked Chris Brown what his preferences were. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. It ties into what you said about the brainwashing, and it is a deeper thing to it. It's exactly what you said. They do that type of thing. It's a brainwashing thing. It's always to tear, you know, black people down.
It is, right. And so we should never,
yep.
You know, it works. And that's the thing. And I think that the reason why we feel the need to challenge it, even though you could say, oh, just ignore that, is because we don't want little black girls, little black pretty little chocolate black babies to see that and have it go unchallenged. You can't ignore everything.
That
would be like us trying to ignore away racism. You can't ignore somebody following you around calling the police on you. You can't ignore the police and they pull you over for nothing. So we don't have to ignore him. We challenge him so that we show this is not right and this is not the way that you should treat black women, period.
That's right. That's right. And as a father of two beautiful chocolate young girls, you know, I concur with that statement that, you know, you don't have to put that out there publicly. You know, if you feel that way, that's one thing. Okay. But don't put that out there publicly, because the implications, you know, reach further than, you know, probably they can imagine, you know. So,
It just creates division that we don't need.
And
Ludacris said his daughter was half light-skinned, half African. Like, light-skinned is a different ethnic group.
Exactly. The Ace Division, we don't need. If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are here with Kyra Kyles, and we are talking about an article that was published by The Guardian from Dream McClinton, talking about dark-skinned women being married less than light-skinned women. And we've come to the conclusion that it was a very personal article. You know, not a lot of hard data to go off of, but she was just really speaking of her experience as a dark-skinned woman. Roger,
and we did invite her
to
come
to
on,
column?
Too.
Well,
no, we did invite her on. She declined. She said she didn't want to discuss it, but she did make the article. Well, yeah, we can get to the call line.
But I want to say this one thing. I'm sorry. You have somebody on the line. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
you're fine.
Go ahead, Karen. Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to say was she did have a study in there, you know, from an Ohio State University professor, and he said that 55% of light-skinned women were married, 23%, you know, of dark-skinned women were married. it just seemed like it was a really, like, I questioned the size of the sampling, and also, like, you know, there are some people who think they're light-skinned that are not. You know what I mean? So I was kind of wondering, like, how did they identify who was light-skinned versus who was dark-skinned? I wanted to say that.
Where's the threshold? Exactly. Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. She did do that. But where's the threshold of light-skinned, dark-skinned, brown in between? You know, you got the paper bag thing, but
none
of this is, is very, you know, conclusive.
Not very
scientific. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, not very scientific, so that's a good point. Yeah, Rigel, Queen Rigel, let's hit the call line and see what the family talking about.
Okay. Let's go to
and
area
also,
code
wait, before
31.
We do this, no, go ahead. I was just going to say, callers, if you can keep your comments or questions to 5 minutes so we can give the guests time to respond. Go ahead.
Okay. We'll start with area code 319-572. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I have a comment.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead, caller. Peace.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead. We hear you loud and clear. We got you.
Okay. So y'all think the dark women have a hard time. What about us biracial Americans who the black women turn down because we don't fit in a box? We're either considered too far left or too far right, or not far left enough.
Got it.
And
okay.
And the dark, I find dark skinned women sexy, but me being a biracial man, they don't want me. So it's kind of the opposite.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. Did you want to respond to that, Kyra? That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
dynamic.
I don't, you know, I would never negate anybody's experience because just like the woman who wrote the article, I do believe her when she says that people have been unkind to her because of her complexion, even if I haven't experienced it that same way. I have not really heard of black women rejecting biracial men. I mean, black women are also guilty sometimes of talking about wanting, you know, babies with so-called good hair and liking light skin.
Right.
I think it kind of goes back and forth. Like, I remember in the 90s, it was all about Christopher Williams and Albie Shure and, you know, these lighter-skinned men.
Right.
And then it kind of swung back toward darker-skinned men like Tyrese and people that were really chocolate. And I think, you know, earlier someone made the comment that they often see a white man with a really kind of like whatever you think the phenotype of a black woman is. And I think it's the same way with white women. They tend to probably want a darker-skinned, very pronounced, you know, black male because of somewhat of the exoticism is in that. So I haven't personally seen that. As a matter of fact, I had a friend that I kind of fell out with because she's about my complexion, maybe a little darker, and she told me all she wanted was a light-skinned man with green eyes, and that's it. And I told her, like, how many people do you think are that, you know, and are black? And then on top of that, they may not want you. What if they say they don't want, you know, like a darker-skinned woman, you know, that doesn't have green eyes? So she got mad at me about that. But I don't see that as much. I do think that the exotification goes on both sides. I think black women artists just aren't doing what black male artists are doing in terms of talking about it all the time. But it definitely happens where lighter skinned men with curly hair are given compliments and appreciated as being something better and the capability to make their children look a little closer to white.
Right.
Yeah, I have
indeed.
A question for the caller. I got a question. Caller, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you a question. You know, please, if you don't mind, you know, just give me an honest answer. Now, being a biracial person, I'm sure you fit in the middle of the color scheme, right? Or do you look mostly white?
Yeah.
Kind of like
if I came around y'all, y'all would think I'm white.
Okay. Now, for you yourself, how do you honestly feel like inside? Is there times where you wish you were all the way white or all the way black, or have you found comfortableness in your skin and how you look? Are you happy with the way you look, or do you have issues with it?
I found confidence in being biracial because being biracial, like I said, still comes with its benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can get into a door faster than you. I can.
Interesting.
They don't see us as much of a threat.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, at least I'm.
But
glad
they also made up the
one
drop rule, so
say.
You know, you may see yourself as whiter. They probably still think of you as black, just maybe a more acceptable brand of black.
Well, a lot
right.
of them think.
Exactly.
Well, a lot of them think I'm white because I'm country.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear that you got confidence in your skin. That's the main thing I want to, you know, see or make sure that you're comfortable with how you look and you happy with how you look. People should be happy with their own unique. You know, whether you like, black, whatever, be happy and confident in how you look. You know what I'm saying?
But being biracial, I find it easier to date white women than it is to date black women. Even though I prefer a black woman.
Now why
but,
is that? What makes it easier?
Because I don't carry that black swag that they look for. I don't dress and I don't care about sneakers and I don't have the latest, you know, tennis shoes or every time they see me, I'm wearing a pair of steel-toed boots.
The country.
Country, yeah.
I don't dress in the latest fashions.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well, that's kind of stereotypical
yeah, say,
if that's
say,
the way they think.
Yeah, so you
I
say
black
women,
white women,
right.
I would leave alone. I would leave them alone if that's what
yeah.
I think black men are, because I know
exactly.
many black men that are not biracial that don't do any of those things that you mentioned either.
That's
yeah,
right.
So I was gonna say,
that's
so,
right.
So,
so,
you,
it just
so from your experience,
on,
you think
yeah.
that black women,
like I was saying,
a man that's dressed a certain way.
I don't fit into their box.
Yeah, the hip hop
kind of
women out
like
the women box
left.
Kind of person. You can't force
yeah,
me into
you probably
a box,
need to get rid of the box. We probably
yeah.
need
yeah.
to get rid of the box because that's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Well, I'm already through that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm already got rid of that. So
yeah,
that's right. Be you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
all right. We appreciate you calling. We want to get to some other calls, but we appreciate your
yep,
insight.
Yep.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, let's go to the call lines, family. Give us a call. It's Collective Minds Radio. The number is 929-477-1697. We are joined by our special guest, Kyra Kyles, and we're talking about our dark skin women getting married less than light skinned women and colorism and all its glory per se. But okay, let's go to the call lines.
Okay. Area code 314-473. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, hello, I do have a comment. Can you hear me?
Yes,
sir. Yes, thanks
for
calling. Okay. Yeah, so there was a comment earlier from your guest, and I'm sorry, the audio kind of went out as you were saying what her name was, but she made a comment that I think one of the guys said that every man or every woman, for that matter, has a type of, you know, woman or man that they like. And I think that's right. I think since the beginning of time, I'll speak as a man because I'm a man, but every man has a type of woman that he likes. You know, he can look at a woman and say, man, that's my type right there. And I don't think that's necessarily always from, like, some type of self-hate. But, you know, I think that it's dangerous to assume that you can understand all people and that you can easily categorize them. You know, listening to something that Chris Brown says and then thinking that we understand his subconscious and what he's really thinking and then responding to it. You know, I think that responding to that type of foolishness, if you think it's foolishness, really gives it more promotion than it needs, right? So I think it's better for us as a people, as human beings, if we hear something that we don't agree with, instead of responding to it, I think it's better for us to observe and understand it so we better understand how to deal with those type of people and navigate in life. Because, even if people are liking a certain type of skin person because of self-hate. That's been happening since the beginning of the world. So to think we could probably have a million podcasts, and it's highly unlikely that it's going to change. So it's better for us to understand the situation and then teach our children about that so that they can navigate in life. And so that's my comment on it.
All right, we appreciate you, Carla. And then we'll let Kyra respond to that. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Kyra, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, very, very well and eloquently spoken point. I still disagree with that. I think we can do both. I think that we don't want to pay attention to every time somebody makes a ridiculous comment that we feel like we have to write a think piece on it and go on every radio show talking about it. But I do think that there are teachable moments where if you have little children, you have younger people that are impressionable, you probably can make a difference and you probably can affect some of their thinking. I definitely understand that that people have a certain type. You know, I like guys with big eyes, to be honest with you, but it doesn't come from me just watching music videos all the time and seeing nothing but men with big eyes. I mean, it's almost like, if all you're shown as something beautiful is someone who is lighter with wavy hair, you can't help but be in some way affected by that. So my thought isn't that we eliminate that, but that you show more in different women, and that also you use your own brains and look at the fact that, man, most of these men didn't come from any biracial woman or light-skinned woman. And even if they did, I mean, they've got relatives and other people. Like, that's the beauty of it. We come in all phenotypes. My father's light-skinned. My mother's dark-skinned. We live in a house with people of all different hues. For us to come out and start acting like we're mind, you know, controlled is just sad to me. And I think because this does come directly from slavery, it is something to address. Now, if a man tells me, you know, he likes women that are shorter or taller or whatever the case may be, I think there's a significant difference because this is a societal thing and it's something that continues to happen. You know, we've got movies where lead actors and actresses are usually lighter, and commercials where there will be one, you know, a dark-skinned wife, a light-skinned husband, and then somehow they'll improbably have biracial children because that's what casting directors want to push as what is cute. A cute child cannot be a little chocolate baby. It's got to be, you know, and they're pretty too. I'm not saying anybody's not cute here, but I'm just saying that can't be the only standard. So I think at this point we've learned that ignoring things and hoping that they vanish is not the way to go. Mm-hmm. Just like we can't ignore away, you know, any other societal problems that we have, like redlining or segregation or underfunding of schools. These are all things that matter, and these are all things that impact us. And I think it's very kind of cavalier for especially a black man to say something like that about how women should receive ignorance and just accept it.
Right.
And I'm not going to, and I hope other people don't either. And Chris Brown came back hard and doubled down on what he said. So it wasn't like people just, you know, got a fortune cookie and read it and figured out what he was thinking. He made it quite clear what he meant. And you can also see it in the women that he dates.
Yep, yep. So, and I want to respond to the caller as well, real quick, Mufasa. Because there's a difference, like the guest said, between preference and some underlying things when it comes to skin color and race, because we got to think about it. It's skin color and race is so polarizing in this country, you know, that it's kind of hard because consciously you're not going to say that you hate yourself. So we're talking about subconscious programming. We're talking about light skin being, or European actually being the standard of beauty when it comes to women. And then that trickles down into black society. So we're talking about subconscious effects on people's mental and their mind. So nobody's going to come out and say, you know, I hate myself or I hate my mother. But you can tell by maybe the choices or the women they date or the people they choose to mate with that, you know, there's some underlying issues there. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to picking a mate or your quote-unquote preferences. Because, like I say, the race and skin thing is polarizing in this country, and we've been taught that black is bad, you know, curly hair is
ugly.
Nappy, that's bad, and straight hair is ugly, yeah, all that type of stuff. So all these things do have an effect on us. So whether we admit it consciously or not, these things have an effect on us subconsciously, and it affects our behavior and things that we do. So there's a difference in preferences when it comes to things like that. So I just wanted to put that out there. But go ahead, Brother Mufasa, and we'll get to the call lines after that.
No, I was going to say shout out to all the brothers out there with big ass. Y'all heard the guest. She like them big ass, y'all. Hey, you know what they say. You know what they say about men with big ass.
You are terrible.
That's right. Hilarious. That is funny. All right, y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. We are in the building. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And did you want to go to call lines, Roger?
Okay, yeah, we can go to the call lines. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
You know,
uh-oh.
I don't know why people blame everything on slavery, unless they just don't know. Everything that can't be explained, blamed on slavery. You know, in the South,
well, no,
in your urban areas, New Orleans, Charleston, South Carolina, and so on, the majority of the slaveholders, at the tune of 83%, was mulatto women. And they enslaved dark complexion people. You know, that throws a wrench in that old story that people became free and bought their relatives. And the reason why they were in majority, because when the slave master plantation owner died, they was manumiss and they continued the business. And that's not talked about.
Okay, no, well, so are you saying that colorism did not stem from slavery?
No, it didn't. In the Bible, didn't Aaron and Miriam criticize Moses when he married the Ethiopian woman, the Cushite? Or actually, it was a Cushite.
I'm not sure. I'm not a Bible scholar, so I'm not 100% sure on that.
And it's based on historical. I'm not a Bible thumper either. But ethnocentric societies have always existed. They exist today. The Cushites, their God forbid it mixing. That's why he impregnated Hatshepsut's mother so he could have a pure solar child. And the mixing was not with Europeans because they had not came into the land in the beginning of the Cushite God. It was talking about what you would call today as blacks, or the way blacks use the word. You can go into African society today, and that still rules. Chancellor Williams' book on page 210 and 212, the Mossi King talked about the same thing. So this is not something that began in slavery. It has been always people had their preferences and their prejudices. You had people on the far right, those on the far left, and those in the middle. You remember Mama Salama just died recently there in St. Louis? Kevin, did you know her?
Mama Salama, I did not.
Yeah. Well, her daughter, Sly, used to be on Onion Harden's radio show, WGNU, I guess it was, that other one. And I heard her make a statement. She's light-skinned. I think that she has a white father. She made the statement that she is a typical what quote-unquote blacks in America is going to be like. And if you up north, you have a lot of what you call biracial. And by the way, the people who are biracial, they wanted that designation as an identifier on the U.S. Census. They wanted to be looked at outside of what at the time it still is, African-American or black. In the 2020 census, you're going to have designations of African-American, Ethiopian, Nigerian, I believe Ghanaian too, or other, you know, other. So you got these other ethnic groups that's here Nigerians, Ghanaians, and so on, they don't want to be included in this term called black.
Right.
And around the time of Tiger Woods, you seen bills hit Congress. Yeah, you seen bills hit in Congress that allowed for the biracial. And I tell you the story, you know, University City High School, Kevin, since y'all from St. Mm-hmm. Louis, Dockett and some others was working to try to put African-centered curriculum in that high school, which we know never did happen. But in the session where we had students convene, you had biracial students say, I want to know about both sides of my biological tree. I don't just want to know about the African side. The same was
well,
in Kansas
European,
City.
Right, they get European history. That's what we learn as far as world history. It's all Roman, Greek. You know, that's mostly world history.
Well, you know, you had
so
schools
they,
in
would
Kansas
already
City.
Get the European side.
You had schools in Kansas City, and I think you got one in St. Louis now, Old Imagine Base School, where they was Greek magnet, French magnet, and the children in the school all day long, that's the only language they could speak was either Greek or French. Now, another thing, in Africa, one of the reasons why come we can't say that this stuff developed in slavery because all Africans that were brought here was not from the same clans. Maybe some of them done things that led to them being sent here. They was expelled or they got rid of their riffraff. But a black today cannot go into an African society, a particular, like the Ashantis and also maybe the Ewe. And you cannot become a chief in there because they look as black as being mixed. M-I-X-E-D. Same thing that the god Amun said, that he did not want, he wanted to have a pure solo child. He forbid it mixing. And it was not with white folks. So that's those societies. Those societies want to have that. That's up to them. And also, it's in the Bible too that we don't refer to when it comes down to who you marry. It says in there that don't give your daughters to their sons and don't give your sons to their daughters. So,
indeed,
in this country, everything goes.
Right. I want to give our guests a chance to respond, but I do want to say this, caller, because it sounds like you're talking about tribalism, or you're talking about, you know, countries or nations or groups like that. But
now,
I think that's a little bit different than what we're talking about as far
well,
as.
Well, I'm going to get on to what you're saying. It is what you're saying, because first, I got grandkids. My grandson told me the other day, he said, Papa, I'm marrying me a dark, jet black woman. And my wife is from West Africa.
There you go.
I went to West Africa and got her. And so I know what they do. I went to West. I had to go through a whole trial and tribulations in order to marry her. I just couldn't go up and say I want to marry you. That just don't work there. It just don't work like that. So no,
indeed.
Kids.
And
I'm down here in Louisiana, and there's some beautiful dark complexion women down here. Indeed.
Right.
Indeed.
It is. All right, Link. All right, caller. We appreciate you. I want to give Kyra a chance to respond on. Basically, I think he was just talking about the origins of the colorism. Do you have any comments on that as far as the origins?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think anybody ever said that this started with slavery, because I did mention, you know, in Asian American societies and Indian societies all across the globe, there have been these issues, and it may just come from the fact that people associate fair skin with being able to, you know, stay in the house, being able to not do the day labor and to be privileged. Whereas if you're darker, you know, you're out in the sun, you're working for other people, that kind of thing, it's like a negative association. So it didn't start with slavery, but I think if we're talking about black people marrying other black people in America, and that was what the column was about. So when you talk about that, I think you cannot discount the effect of slavery. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, he brought up the biracial slaveholders. There's some historical analysis that said that in by 1850, biracial or so-called mixed blood blacks constituted 37% of the free black population, even though they only made up 8% of the slave population. So they got out first. They were freed first. So that privilege started a long time ago. And it's not to say that, you know, they deserve to be punished or any other kind of treatment. It's just that that putting on a pedestal started long ago and is really entrenched into this country. And blackness was always set up as the bottom. So the closer you are to that, the closer to the bottom you are. The closer you get to whiteness, not saying that they're going to accept you fully, the better off you are. So, you know, Halle Berry probably couldn't take any roles from Julia Roberts, but she'd be better off than, say, you know, like a darker skinned actress that was also around during her era, like a Robin Givens. You know, even though Robin Givens is also very beautiful. So, I don't, again, I don't want to play into verses because I think that's not the point. The point is for us to come together and appreciate the beauty that each of us has and not put down other people because that makes no sense, especially when we're all in the same group.
That's right. That's right. And just to echo what you're saying, Veggie, back on what you're saying, yeah, black people come in all different shades, and we should embrace every single shade. If you identify, you know, with the diaspora and you want a better future for black people, better quality of life for black people and yourself, I think you should be on the team, and it shouldn't be no division as far as male, female, and especially this topic as far as colorism. You know, because we're all in the same boat, and the same bug that bit me bit the other. So we got to figure out how to come together.
And like I said in the article, like you can try to put light skin on a bank loan application, and let me know how that works for you. Like if you're going to be treated probably about the same in that respect. So it doesn't really serve us to kind of section each other off and, you know, do that kind of thing because we're already very divided and we have enough problems. And I think that some of it comes in, you know, with this whole, like, biracial issue. And my that wasn't even part of the article. It was more about the skin color and hair texture being pitted against other skin colors.
Exactly.
I can say, me, Brother Mufasa, I have to say again, I don't have any problems with, you know, skin women. But hey, I'm a chocolate brown skinned woman. It just do it for me. That just do it for me. I'm
but
not
you know what's funny
no
about what
skin
you
skin
said?
Woman.
But can I bring this up? Because what's funny is though you said you were like I'm a dark skinned man, and you said but I go against the grain.
Oh,
now here's what's hilarious.
No, that's Brother Kid. That's Brother Kid.
No, that was me.
Okay,
that was me. That was me. That was me.
That was it.
That was me.
Okay, because I was gonna say it's just funny that though no matter what complexion a man is, they still feel like it's okay, whether even they're dark, too, to say, well, I don't want nothing that looks like me. It's like, how terrible is that? You know what I mean? For you to say, I don't want something that, you know, could be mistaken for me, you know, walking past me.
Right.
Like, I just think the fact that that's even a thought in somebody's head, like, nobody on this phone
like Kodak Black,
like what I'm talking about in this column, but I'm just saying that that's just sad that we are conditioned to think we're going against the grain when we can appreciate darker-skinned people. That's the problem right there.
Right. I agree. And I said I was going against the grain because all my life I've always seen dark-skinned males go towards the light-skinned females.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I've always been attracted to the dark-skinned female just out of, you know, I don't know. So that's why I was saying going against the grain. I didn't mean, you know.
No, what you said made perfect sense. I'm just saying that that's funny that that's the grain, though. You know what I mean? Like the,
right,
the grain
exactly.
is what
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
tripping
right.
off of. What is
gotcha,
happening?
Gotcha. Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Right, agreed. But I've always seen that, though, as far as even like, let's say, because in my era, Michael Jordan, okay, he was the greatest basketball player. Everybody looked at Jordan. His wife, his first wife, I can't remember her name offhand, but she was very light-skinned.
Juanita.
Just as one example.
Yeah.
Juanita, exactly. Juanita, just as one example. She was very fair, light-skinned, and that was kind of the norm as for what I've seen, even in the neighborhood as far as dark-skinned males going for the light-skinned Keisha or the light-skinned.
Oh, yeah, you are 100%
you know,
right.
So.
I've seen the same thing. I'm just saying I think that's hilarious that people with a straight face, somebody like Jordan's complexion would be sitting there saying, man, you know, I really don't want a dark-skinned woman. And you're like, But
exactly,
you know, you are inherently saying that there's something the matter with you.
Exactly, and that's where the problem comes in. I think Mufasa, you touched on this earlier. The problem comes in when you start dogging the other group and saying, you know, I just don't like dark skinned women because X, Y, Z, and you just want to date you know, light skinned women.
Right.
The problem is when you start dogging the other group.
You know, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, because they do it in both ways.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right, the Collective Minds Radio, y'all. Collective Minds, we are in the building. Give us a call. We down to the last half hour. The number is 929-477-1697. And we are joined by our very special guest, Kyra Cowles. And we are discussing colorism. Are dark-skinned women getting married less than light-skinned women? So give us a call. Let us know your comments. We appreciate the family. It's Collective Minds. Raju, did you have a comment or a question, or do you want to go to the call lines?
We can go to the call lines. Area code 847-986. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 847-986. Okay, maybe they're just listening. We'll move on. Area code 314-616. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, how's everybody doing this evening?
Hey,
Colin. All is well. Peace.
Hey, you know, so here's the deal. I want to fill a couple of Jews. I kind of have a issue with the way that the discussion was worded, because when you distinguish by shade, it almost goes back to like a Willie Lynch type thing, as if there's a difference between being a fair-skinned African or indigenous person as opposed to being a dark. But, you know, I heard the comment about, you know, this didn't start in slavery. I honestly don't know. But we can't ignore the fact that slavery has played a role in how we view colorism, not just here in America, but in Central America and all across the globe. And I think that the issue that I take with it is I had saw a meme a couple weeks ago, and it kind of made an issue with how, you know, from the time our little girls are, you know, 2 or 3 years old and they're getting dogs, they're always taught that the white dog is the pretty dog and the black dog is the ugly dog. So they kind of ingrain something in their, in their psyche from the time they're a kid to the time they grow up. And if you notice, like, in the entertainment realm, you see fair-skinned artists get a bigger promotion budget and marketing than the darker skin. I mean, you look at, like, a person like Aaliyah, Alicia Keys, Mariah Carey, Beyonce, Ella May. The list goes on and on. So we see that the colorism is real. And I think that because, you know, having darker complexion skin has been a negative connotation that's been ingrained in our minds, a lot of people at least want to have kids by a fair-skinned complexion person, assuming that somehow their kids will have, you know, I won't say a better life, but their appearance will be better. And I mean, like, how many people can't deny that when a baby's born, even if the baby's kind of fair-skinned, the first thing you're doing is looking at the color of the ears to say, hey, you know what? They light-skinned, now they got black ears. So, you know, I said a lot of this thing, even if it didn't derive from slavery, we definitely can't deny that slavery has not been an outgrowth of how we're viewing colorism. So I think that, you know, we can't distinguish the African or indigenous diaspora by shade. And we need to know, you know, why, more or less, not why light-skinned women are getting married more, because I don't really have the numbers as far as shade, but how come, you know, black women are not marrying black men? You know, why is there such a growing rate of interracial marriage in the black family? So that's pretty much my comment on the topic, because but I say, I don't think when you run numbers, it has African people divided by shade, it just may say, hey,
right,
you know, 24% of black women are getting married. It doesn't say out of that 24%, this percentage is light skin, this certain percentage is dark skin. But I think, you know, the more that we embrace our heritage, you know, me being a fair-complected male, you know, I just loved all kind of black women in my life. But, you know, as I unlearn what's
right,
been programmed into me, I'm desiring women who embrace natural hair. You know, I love to see women,
yeah,
with locks in their hair, and, you know, women that wear their fros and their curls. So, you know,
right,
I think that once black men collectively begin to reject what you know, European imperialism has impressed upon them, and telling our women that they don't have to fry their hair and lighten their skin, we can get out of this way of thinking.
Yes, indeed, I agree with that.
Before
we give our guest Kyrie a chance to respond, I do want to respond to what you said. As far as naming the show, I totally agree with what you were saying. We should not be dividing on colorism, but we wanted to make the title kind of enticing, and we wanted to reference the article that kind of sparked this conversation. And our special guest, Kyra Kyles, she did do a response piece to that particular article, because it did get a little, it got some traffic online as far as people discussing it. So that's why we put the title and worded it that way. It wasn't our words. We were kind of referencing the article before, but I totally agree that, yes, we should not be divided amongst those lines. So, and if you want to respond, Kyrie, as well, you can go ahead and respond.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I think he made, you know, some great points. There was just a study done at Texas Southern University showing that over the last 15 years, lighter-skinned black women have been in the top 40 on the charts in terms of airplay. So there is truth to that, even though people sometimes don't want to acknowledge it. And they name people like Rihanna and Mariah Carey, Alicia Keys, as part of that. You know, I think that we realize that, you know, slavery or whatever it is has had this negative effect. But I wanted to talk about what he said about black women marrying black men and interracial marriage. Now, I'm not here to speak against interracial marriage, because you marry whomever. You know, what I am against is when people are fetishizing somebody and they're marrying them because they think a certain race does this or that. That, I think, is silly.
Right.
If you love somebody,
right,
hey, do whatever you want. But I will say this. I mean, the rate of black women, they are the least likely to marry outside of their race out of everybody. So I think,
right,
that says,
yep,
a lot. Like, black women try as hard as they can collectively to marry black men. So, but you need reciprocity in order for there to be an actual marriage, right? You can't be the, you know, I'm only going to marry a black man, but a black man doesn't want to marry you. So I think when we talk about interracial marriage, a lot of times people try to act like the rates are the same. Black men disproportionately marry more white women than the other way around. And I think,
right,
that also is part of society in that, you know, there's a certain
background noise.
Of,
can you mute your phone?
I don't know who that is, but. Yeah, there's a certain,
yeah, go ahead, Nicola,
when you marry a white woman that is not the case when you marry a black woman, because of the way society is set up. It's almost like you're taking on trauma and pain that you don't have to take on if you don't want to as a white man. Meanwhile, if you're a black man marrying a white woman, that in some very twisted circles is looked at as an increase in your social standing. So that's because of the way that the society is set up.
Right.
Kyra, are you,
yes,
are you married?
Am I married?
If you don't mind, man. Yeah, if you don't mind,
man. No, I'm not. I'm not. But I've been proposed to twice. But I did not get married, but they were both black men.
Okay.
Now,
yes, indeed.
You know, I mean, since you did throw that out there, what was the issue with
I wrote
two
it
brothers?
In the column. I said I was never married, but one and a half times engaged. That's the way I describe it. Because one of them gave me kind of one of those silly, you know, proposals, like, let's run off to Vegas. I was like, yeah, no, buddy, I'm just going to let you go that way. But, no, and that's why I'm
right.
saying, like, I know that it is fully possible for black women to get married, but I also know that the odds are against us, and it's not just, you know, like, surface reasons. It's, like, very deep societal reasons, and it's sad. I just think we shouldn't even be having this conversation in 2019.
Right.
Well, one of the reasons why I asked you that, because we did a show, I think about a year or so ago, where we had a debate about men being over the age of, what was it, 30, 35, y'all, that are single. And my whole thing was, it's kind of off subject slightly, but my thing was, any man that's over the age of 35 that's still single, and my opinion, there's something wrong with you. Because there's a lot of beautiful, good single women out here. And I look at it like how you say you had two proposals.
But
as a man,
what
is the deal?
There are so many choices out there, and that can sometimes cause, like, what do they call it, decision paralysis. So years ago, you couldn't get on an app and find a different woman to go out with every day if you want to, but now you can. So for some people, they don't want to get married because they look at that as being restricted. You know, just like I love to open up Grubhub and pick all the restaurants I want to eat at. I'm not going to eat at the same restaurant every day. I'm going to pick a different one. You know, you order Uber, you get a different car. You don't get the same car. So I think that technology has had an effect on that. So I wouldn't necessarily say that that's true of a man, you know, there's something wrong with him. Now, if he's, you know, single and has weird thoughts about relationships and weird thoughts about women, that would explain it. But I know weird men that are married, and that's why I didn't marry them.
Right.
Weird men.
Exactly.
Weird men.
Yep. And I'm going to let you go right on with somebody that matches up with you, because you do not match up with me.
Would you date outside
that's
of your
race? That's
right. You say what now?
Would you date outside of your race?
Are you trying to get me a date or something on air? I mean, I want big eyes outside the ring.
Yeah, look, okay.
Here's my thing. I will date, I'll say this, I will date a man that is attractive to me, kind to me, generous to me, and does not come with problematic baggage, and that is not something that's isolated to the race of a man. You know, so I'm not saying
good
that
answer.
I am exclusively doing anything, because you got to have, you know, choices in the world. This, you know, the world is too big to me to just be really adamant about, I won't do this or that. So hopefully that answers.
Good answer. Good answer. Okay, we're coming down to the last 18 minutes here. I think we can get maybe another caller in. Let's see if we have time for another caller. Roger, you want to get another caller?
Okay,
they
sure.
Have a question or comment.
Area code 847-986. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment? Okay,
they may just be listening. They may just be listening. The last caller that called and Kyra touched on this, because I believe for the most part, despite the agenda that I feel like they're trying to push as far as the black woman dating outside her race, I think the black woman historically has been consistent in choosing the black male as a mate, as opposed to a lot of brothers that we see that become successful either through entertainment or sports. They tend to choose either, you know, light-skinned women or take the next step and start dating white women. You know what I'm saying? They start getting them a Becky. So I think that's important to point out that black women have been consistently choosing black men to mate with for the most part, besides, like I say, the recent agenda that we see on TV and a lot of commercials where they are trying to push the black woman and white male agenda for some reason. But, you know, that's a topic for a later discussion. But I just wanted to put that out there because black women have been consistent in holding us down, and we must not forget that. You know what I'm saying? So I did want to put that out there. Now, Kyra, before we let you go, I guess, can you let us know, you know, where we can find you and maybe some of the things that you have going on in the future that we can be looking out for?
Sure. Thank you for that. And first, I want to say thank you so much for the great conversation. This was a really fun discussion, even though it's a serious topic, and I really enjoyed talking to the callers, and they called in with some excellent points and really good questions that make you think. Now, typically I'm writing for the Griot, which is where you found the response that I wrote, and I also write for Bustle and some other publications, and I am actually working on a book at the moment that looks at, you know, kind of the view of Black women in love. I don't want to give too much away at this early stage, but, you know, if you find it of interest, I'd love to come back and talk to you about it some more. But that's something that I'm working on right now, is a book about Black women's relationships and kind of the societal effects on those relationships.
Yes
indeed. Yes, indeed. We appreciate that. Are you on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram?
I am. So anybody who wants to, you know, have a good time, you know, talking to me on social, I'm at the Kyles Files. So it's T-H-E-K-Y-L-E-S as in Sam Files on every platform. So at the Kyles Files. So please go ahead and follow, and I promise to keep you entertained, especially if you have big eyes, you know.
Oh yeah.
Right. There you go.
I'm over here doing some eyeball exercises right now.
Oh my God.
Right.
Eyeball exercises.
Yes indeed.
But I would like to add something too. You know, I listened, and everybody made some great points, and I appreciate everybody, all the callers and our guests, and everybody made really great points. I do want to just add something to the conversation, too, because there's nothing wrong with, you know, having a preference. I know I've, throughout the conversation, I heard people, you know, mention their preference, and I do agree. It's nothing wrong with having a greater liking to, you know, to something or someone. The problem only comes in if that preference gets into the way of a wise choice or a wise decision, or it's either going to hurt you or your family or someone else. Because I like a light-skinned person, I'm going to be with a light-skinned person that's toxic for me. You know, so the preference is okay if we can still incorporate it with not being in a box. We don't have to make it where it's our box and this is the only thing. You know, if we can be wise enough to be able to go outside of our preference, if it's for a better cause, then I think we shouldn't have a problem, you know, because you have all kinds of people that, you know, that you can consider good or bad. So I think if we limit ourselves and put ourselves in a box and say, okay, I prefer this, then I think we're not doing ourselves a good service. I think it's a hindrance to our growth as a human, because another person could actually be a more benefit to you. But if you block yourself out, then you don't get that experience in life. And I think life, we only get one life. Well, some people may not believe that, but I believe we only get one life
that we know
that we know of on this physical life. So we should live it to the fullest. We should explore and learn things about life. So I don't think we do ourselves a good service by limiting ourselves. But like I said, I do want to say again, I don't think it's anything wrong with having a preference, but it only becomes a problem when it interferes with good judgment.
Got you.
I know it's a lot that I would love to say about that. We might have to do a whole other show on that. It's a lot
Yes, indeed.
It's going to take too much time.
Right.
Too much time for me to get all that out.
Okay. Yeah, so
I don't know if Kyle wants to respond, because I do have one other question too, but if you want to respond to that real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, innately we do have preferences about lots of things. I just think we should also not be afraid to deconstruct and challenge our preferences and ask why we have those preferences. Is it because of terrible things our relatives told us? Is it because they said, come in out of the sun before you get black? Is it because we only saw little light-skinned children on TV? I think if you don't question yourself and ask yourself things, not only do you not learn, but then you pass that ignorance along, and that's when I think it becomes a problem. You know, you're right. Yeah. We mm-hmm. love is like a complicated thing. You never know why you may be attracted to a certain person. But as you say, if you're insistent upon this one type of person and excluding all these others, you're hurting them, but more so you're hurting yourself. So I think we just need to be in a position to ask ourselves and learn our history better, which we don't know very well, in order to understand and inform our choices and not just blindly follow Lil Wayne and Kodak Black and Chris Brown.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I have one final question for
Facts.
You. I know that, you know, you had a 10-year editor-in-chief and senior vice president of Digital at Ebony. Are you mm-hmm. at liberty to discuss or tell us how you feel about what's going on with Ebony right now, with, like, the layoffs and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, I haven't been there in several years, and I'm actually working in nonprofit now, helping media organizations to get funding so that they don't end up in trouble. Especially, I put a strong focus on ethnic media because that legacy media is so important. I think I can generally say that it's always sad when there's an important publication or outlet that provides a service that we clearly need. You know, even in the year 2019, we were supposedly post-racial. That didn't occur. So we need these outlets to thrive. And what I would say is that a lot of times I think we, you know, as people of color in general and black people in particular, we have like a nostalgia about certain outlets, but we don't support them with our money. And I'm not saying that that's exactly what happened in this point, but I think that too often, like the Chicago Defender has gone out of print as of last week. And there were so many people lamenting about it, but yet I don't hear a lot of people talking about spending any money, you know what I mean, to fix the problem. So I think that what's happening with these outlets is a reminder that we can't take these resources for granted, and we really need them more than ever when we're dealing with mainstream media that depicts us in a negative way. One of the things I loved was that when the caller brought up the title of the show, you all said, you know, oh, we see what you're saying. And, you know, their mainstream media outlets would never back down. They would say, this is what we did and accept it, you know, because I've worked for these outlets. So if you see value in that,
That's right.
You want to see yourself depicted, you know, not only positively but realistically, it can't just be that when bad things happen, we all get sad and we share it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Like, you should have been sharing and supporting when these entities were floundering. You know, some of this is advertising, but a lot of it is also audience. So we just have to keep up the good fight, and that's what I would say about that.
Okay, let's one caller has one more question for her real fast. Caller, go on. You on? I'm with you.
Yeah. Hey. An earlier conversation brought a question that I think is real important for me to hear the answer to, and that is, we've already established that it's not really cool for a person of color to say, I don't like dark-skinned girls, especially if it's not based on kind of their personal preference. My question is it okay for a person of color to say, I don't date outside of my race, when it's not because of their personal preference, but if it's just based on race alone?
You know, I think that it's dangerous to make any kind of statement about what you would never, ever do, because you do put yourself out. But I can certainly understand someone having concerns. Like, for example, if, you know, I'm dating a white man, I don't want to do the guess who's coming to dinner. Don't surprise your family with me. You know, don't play games and don't tell grandpa who's got a Confederate flag on his truck that I'm coming over there, because you may think this is amusing or some rite of passage, but that's actually detrimental to me and could end up, you know, ruining the relationship. So I think that because of the racism, the thing we're experiencing now, you may better be able to understand why somebody would be hesitant to do that. Because they may like the person, but they don't want to be forced upon someone's family that may not understand or even excommunicate them based on that. No one wants to, I don't think, be in that situation. So I don't think it's a matter of wrong or right. It's like, if someone has legitimate fear, unfortunately, there's a reason for that right now. You know, you are concerned, they might call the police on you. You know, there was a situation where, wasn't it a white father that tried to shoot at or hurt his daughter's boyfriend because he was black.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So this
yep.
is not a
yep.
game, and this isn't about like a father just being rude to you or a mother not offering you an extra bread roll at dinner. This is like, you could get someone hurt. So I don't think they're really comparable. I think they're two very, very different things. Just with the racial climate right now, it may be challenging to be in an interracial relationship, but I don't think that's on the same plane as I don't want, you know, dark-skinned women because I was raised to believe that Mariah Carey is the prettiest, and if you don't look like Mariah Carey, don't come near me kind of thing.
Right.
But that's an excellent question. It makes sense, but, you know, I don't think it's the same.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, caller, for that question. We appreciate
that. Thank you so much.
And yeah, we appreciate it. And yeah, this is Cosmic Kev, Kyra. I just want to formally thank you again for sharing some of your Sunday evening with us. We really appreciate this conversation, your expertise in the area, and you know, I consider you part of the black media as you know, write and share your opinions and your expertise on things. So we definitely will be checking for you in the Griot and online as well. We have your website. That's kyracals.com. That's K-Y-L-E-S .com.
That's right.
So check her out, family. And, again, thank you so much for sharing some evening with us. And hopefully when you get your book ready to go and you go on your promo run, you know, you can come back and holler at us.
I would be delighted to. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate the conversation.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. All right.
All right. It's Brother Mufasa.
Yep.
I want to
Brother Mufasa, we're going to let y'all wrap it up. Yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks, Kyra, again, for me as well. Look forward to talking to you again in the future. Hope you can come back. And I just want to say real quick to, you know, my hostess on here, the listeners, you know, everybody be comfortable in the skin that you're in. Love who you are, no matter what your shade is. If somebody can't love you for who you are, hey, that's their problem. So I just wanted to say that, make it simple and plain as that. Love who you are.
Yes, indeed. Roger.
Makes sense.
Roger, you there?
Roger, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Okay.
No, love who you are. Definitely, I totally agree with that. Love who you are. And also, like I said before, you know, don't put yourself in a box. You know, experience life. Don't put yourself in a box. Don't stunt yourself. Don't stop yourself from growing and becoming the best that you can be, you know, because you can, you know, you should, you know, want to be able to help other people. We get blessed. It's not just for us. It's for us to be able to help other people. We're supposed to be proactive and do things, you know, while we're here. So I just want to encourage people not to limit themselves by putting yourself in a box and being so identified with something. I personally think it's okay to not be so attached to things where, you know, you can stunt your growth. But, again, this was a good topic.
Yeah.
Thank everybody.
Yeah,
everybody made some really, really good points. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real quick, I do want to reiterate something that I guess Kyra said. She said something very important. And I don't think a lot of people do this enough. And she said, question your own thoughts. You see what I'm saying? Question your thoughts. If you have certain thoughts, it's okay to question where these thoughts come from and really look deep to see whether, you know, these are organic thoughts that you thought of or these are thoughts that maybe society or someone put in your head that you picked up. Exactly. So it's okay to question your thoughts and to go deep and to see, you know, where your thought patterns are coming from. That's very important, and I don't think a lot of people do that. I think they kind of just go along, you know, with the flow, instead of stepping back and just be like, okay, why am I thinking this? Why do I only want to date light-skinned women? Is there something there? I only want to date dark-skinned or whatever. You know what I mean? Just question those, and then you can go from there and kind of better assess the situation. So I just wanted to put that out there because you brought that up. But go ahead.
Continue to follow us. Thanks for all your support. Tune in with us next Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We out. Peace. appreciate you guys.
We out.
Bye,
Miss
Kari.
Collective Mind.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
Okay.